Well, I want to do a message tonight, and there's no way for us to cover all of this, but if you were here Sunday, you'll remember that tonight's message is called this. And I want you to get that both ways. We want to look at help us. Everybody say, help me.
Help me.
Say it again like you really, help me.
Help me.
And then also we want to look at help us, and then we want help, and we need help for the U.S., the United States. And so we're going to look at a number of things. How many of you know that we're not going to be able to cover all this tonight? Okay. Can everybody hear me good? All right, good. Mike's riding it, so we've got rain, but I can yell if need be. All right. Tomorrow, we celebrate the 237th birthday of the United States of America. And I think that is worth celebrating. I do. I think it's a wonderful day. I think you should celebrate. I think you should celebrate with a grateful heart. I think you should celebrate with much joy and thanksgiving. I am a proud American. And this is still my opinion. A lot of people hold to it. I'll prove it to you in a moment. This is still the greatest nation on this planet. I believe that. Here's just one. Let me just cite one thing. This is the only nation that people are trying to sneak into. This is the only nation where people are lining up. And we have a limit on how many can come in. It's just under 700,000 a year. There are some exceptions to that, but we have a legal limit of how many currently can come in, and then we've got more, way more than that, trying to sneak in. People will risk their lives to get into this country. You know what happens in some other countries? They'll risk their life to get out of it. And I think that's a huge thing. So, just one thing, but I want to look. And this is a very positive message, but for it to be positive, I have to also share some concerns with you tonight, okay? We are going to look tonight about problems. How many of you do know with this great land, we do have some problems, okay? And we have some real issues, and I'm not going to go into issues tonight. I do want to tell you this, though. I am working very hard right now, and I'm in contact with some wonderful, wise, smarter pastors than me, spending some time with them on the phone, emailing different things, getting resources, because I think the body of Christ, and I want you to hear me on this, the body of Christ, our world has changed. Our nation has changed. And we are no longer in 1950. Did y'all know that? And we can't act like it either. And we've got to find out, how do we? Remember that Jesus came full of what? Grace and truth. And we've got to find out how to frame, how to hold to what the Bible says, and then our highest command to love. How do we frame this? How do we work this? How do we talk about the issues? How do we get healthy dialogue? How can we help people? How can we stop being judge and instead be a bridge? And we've got to find out how to do that. And we've got to train our people how to do that. Otherwise, we become irrelevant in this world. And our voice gets marginalized and lost. And we're still here for great purpose. Do y'all hear me? And this gospel will be preached to the ends of the earth. And we have great purpose, and, you know, there's a whole lot going on in the world out there, and I just want you to know, I'm not addressing any issues really tonight, but we're working on some things because I want to, as your pastor, there's some other pastors that have the same heart. We want to be able to have people of God equipped so that you know how to handle, how to interpret even for yourself what's going on in this world. And what is our place? And how do we affect and help other people and not just end up some isolated, dogmatic group? Because God has put us in this world to be salt. And he's put us in this world to be light. And the church is also the body of Christ and the earth today. And so we've got to look at some things. So we're going to be doing that. But I just want to let you know that. You be praying, and we'll be sharing things as the Lord would lead. Well, we do have a lot of problems in our nation, but I'd still rather be here. You know? And you need to be praying for other nations. You know, Egypt right now, so volatile. You know, events just of today. You know, when I was having lunch today on TV, they were showing a live picture, and it was like over a million people showing up in one place to say we want some change. You know, there's a whole lot going on in all kinds of places in the world. We need to pray. And we need to think big picture. Now, let's talk about problems just for a little bit here. Though we have problems, we should not retreat. We should not give up. We've worked too hard. We've paid too much. Great prices have been paid for the freedom that we have. Plus, God has a plan. God has a plan. And so to help us, to help the U.S., let me just boil it down to this. It starts, let me tell you where it starts. It starts with me. And it starts with you. We've gotten into a wrong mindset as a culture that we want some higher tier of social organization, our government, or somebody. You fix these things. You fix these things. You fix these things. And I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, they're not going to be able to. They won't be able to. And I'm trying to keep this all in a big picture perspective here. But it starts with me. Everybody say, it starts with me. Now, let me talk about this kind of a grand theme tonight. The moral slide of our nation. How many of you have seen that there's a moral slide? And the moral slide, and again, I'm not going to go into issues tonight, is especially disconcerting, especially upsetting for us who hold to the morals that we hold to. And so as Christians, as followers of Jesus, because of the things that we see happening in a moral slide for our nation, here's why it bothers us. Because we believe in the supremacy of Jesus Christ, and we believe in the authority of Scripture, of the Word of God. So we see those things going counter to that. And so we have a moral issue for our nation. What are morals? Morals are conduct based on some kind of code. Okay? So for some people, they don't see what the problem is. You know, there's some people that behave in certain ways, carry on in certain ways, conduct their life in certain ways, and they don't see any problem at all. And we're going to look at that tonight and see why. And then for us, we get upset about some things, and we try to live according to a certain code, so to speak, and that's what a moral is. And it all comes down really to this. It comes down to our world view. A world view. Everybody say world view. Now, this is what you and I have to understand, okay? There are other world views beside what I have and beside what you have. And that's where a lot of Christians are caught flat-footed, because we just think there's one worldview. Now, I think there's one right worldview, and I'm going to make a case for that tonight. But you have to just understand that there are people close to you. There are people all over our world, people in high places, low places, all kinds of places, that hold to a different worldview than you or I do. Whereas you go back numerous years in our nation, and even back in the 60s, in the 1960s, how many of you remember the 1960s? Even back in the 1960s, when prayer was taken out of schools, public schools, there were polls back then that showed that 97% of our nation held to the value of prayer, there was about 3% that were opposed to prayer. And our Supreme Court made decisions on behalf of the 3% instead of the 97%. Now, my real point on that is much has changed since then. You're not going to find 97% of our population that would hold to the value of prayer. It's much less, and I have to tell you, it's much less each year. So what do we do with this? Well, we as a church have bought a lot of property up in the mountains, and we're all going to move up there and grow our own green beans, and we got a lot of canned goods, and we're going to make our own Play-Doh, and no, we're not. Now, how many of you know there are some groups that do that? Well, we're not that group, okay? And don't take me out of context, and I just hope no recorded portion of that. Listen what this pastor said. He said there... No, we're not doing that. I'm being entirely facetious here. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. And again, we have a real responsibility while we're here. Understand that worldview, now think of the problems that we have, moral slide and everything else. All of it really comes down to worldview. Even get this, and I don't want to get political at all tonight. That's not ever my purpose. Even the different factions politically and approaches to social problems, economy, different approaches to all kinds of things, different views on abortion, on marriage, on same-sex marriage, on all kinds. All of these relate to worldviews. So I just want to share with you tonight what and why we hold to, and I think that what we see as problems in the world are related to worldviews, and it's important that you get your worldview kind of shored up. Listen to this. Everyone has a worldview, everybody. And I did a message, I don't know, I think 2009, I think I did a series called Filter. I think it was the name of it. And we talked about 6-7 weeks on worldviews, and you may want to go back and find that. Everyone has a worldview. That's the lens. That's the filter that they through which they see the world around them. That's how they view reality. That's how they make sense of life. That's how they set their priorities. That's how they make their decisions. That's how they determine how they behave. Now, I want to tell you about a biblical worldview for a moment, okay? What do you expect from me, from a Christian pastor? Should I give you a biblical worldview? Okay. Okay, so if you're here and you're expecting me to give something else, that'd be really weird, okay? That'd be like going to Waffle House and expecting to get lobster, okay? You know, or something, I don't know. But here's what we need to see. I am not talking about, now I want to make clarification on this, I'm not talking about a Christian worldview. I got your attention now. I don't believe in a Christian worldview because there's too many flavors of Christian. So I think that's inaccurate. I hold to a biblical worldview. And you need to separate that, because otherwise we're going to get the thoughts of men in there. So it's not really a... Now, I think a real Christian should have a biblical worldview. But I want to make a differentiation. I don't have a Christian worldview, because that is left open for definition, and there's too many flavors with all of that. So we hold to a biblical worldview. Let me talk about worldview just for a moment. A worldview is this, and let's go biblical worldview. Everybody say biblical worldview. That is, and listen to this carefully, it's viewing the world, viewing the beginning of the world, the people of the world, the problems of the world, the governments of the world, the issues of the world, the solutions of the world, and the future of the world, viewing all of those things through God's word. Now, everybody, every worldview is going to do this. They're going to have some view on the beginning of the world. How many of you know that there are some worldviews that say it just kind of happened, or, you know, the Big Bang or evolution? Okay, that's another worldview. Okay, What do we hold to in the beginning about the beginning of the world? We believe that God created it. Y'all with me? And I'm not going to go through all of this, but other worldviews, every worldview is going to have a view of the beginning of the world, the people of the world, the future of the world, or excuse me, the problems of the world, the governments of the world, the issues of the world, the solutions of the world, the future of the world. They're going to have some way of looking at problems and solutions, origins and destinies. They're going to look at that through something. And so we look at it through what lens? Through the Bible. Through the Bible. And that's why I say that some of the things we see in our culture today are related. They're disconcerting to us. Y'all stay with me. They're disconcerting to us because of the supremacy of Jesus. And I'll talk more about that in a moment. And the authority of God's word. So we see things through the authority of God's word. I make decisions. You make decisions. Based on our problems, our situations, or how we view government, even how we vote, different things like that, based on what we see in the Word of God. Y'all with me? And there's some people, their view of the future of the world, you know, is getting framed by just movies that they see, or a bestseller book that came out, or some friend at work, or something grandma has always said. Or the people of the world or whatever. But we view that. Let me tell you how we view the people of the world, okay? I believe that every person, y'all say every person.
Every person.
I believe that every person is created in the likeness and the image of God. See, and there's other views that don't. There's other world views that, you know, they're going to divide things up by all kinds of things. So I think every person. So that gives me hope and compassion for who? For every person. And so we've got to look at everything, problems, solutions, origins, destinies. We have to look at that through the lens of God's word. If you're with me so far, say amen.
Amen.
The solutions, problems and solutions are first of all for us spiritual in nature. There's natural things that have to happen, but we first of all see things spiritual in nature. Let's just look at our justice and correction system. You know, sometimes we see a problem with somebody and then what, depending on the world view, which our nation has taken to, is you just need to lock them up and just punish them. But how many of you know that it was not just the behavior, that all behavior is need motivated? So there's fruit issues, but there's also root issues. So I'm saying, yes, if somebody's dangerous and destructive, they need to be isolated from society. But don't just lock them up. Let's minister to them. That's why we have prison ministry from here. We believe, let's go talk to them. Let's go love on them. Let's go find out what is the root issue so that we can help with the fruit issue. And you know what? That's because of our worldview. That's because of our worldview. So we believe that problems and solutions are first of all spiritual, and then we'll know something else to do. I do not believe that our solutions are held by the government. I don't believe that all of our solutions are technology or education or PR or anything else. I just don't believe that. Those things may go along with it, but everything is first of all spiritual. And that's because of our worldview. Now, I'm trying to help us tonight to see the problems that our great nation has so that we can see some things related to this. And I'm going to give you a little bit of action here to do in just a moment. I think the biggest problem is this: spiritual emptiness. Spiritual emptiness. The Bible tells us in several places, if we don't have God, we don't have hope. In John 15:5, let's look at this verse real quick. Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit." Here's the part I want you to get, these last words here. "For without me, you can do nothing." Do you believe that? Okay. So if we try to do life, try to do marriage, try to do government, try to do business, try to do anything without Jesus, there's going to be a spiritual emptiness to that. And you can do some things and you can have, you know, some success with that, but I'm telling you, it's not what it could be, should be. That's why for your marriage, for your business, for raising your children, for anything, don't do it apart from Jesus. Y'all with me? Without him, I can do what? Now, I'll tell you what I can do without him. Make a mess. And maybe that's your story, too. You know, we can do that. All right. There are all kinds of views. I'll just list a few. There's materialism, worldview, hedonism. It's all about pleasure. Naturalism, just whatever. Pragmatism, it's all here. Humanism. And ultimately, it boils down to this. Either atheism or theism. Atheism without God. Theism with God. One God, creator God, that we can have contact and relationship with. Colossians 1:16 in the Message says this. For everything, watch this, for everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. Amen. Having a biblical worldview gives you confidence. Okay, celebrating 237 years, greatest country on the world, great moral slide going on. But you know what? When you have a biblical worldview, we don't have to be, and Christians, I want you to hear me on this, hear me on this. We are not to be the negative, tail dragging, griping, sad sack looking people on this planet. When you've got a biblical worldview, you believe something about solutions. You believe something about your future. You believe something about the plan of God. Y'all hear me? And so that being said, having a biblical worldview, you have confidence. You also have answers for life's problems. But we teach it a lot around here. Life is just crisis and process on all kinds of levels, crisis and process. How many of you had crisis and process today? Okay. Now, don't forget the process. Don't just say everything's gone wrong, you know. And whatever it would be, it might be something little. This morning I got up really early. I do that every morning. And I try to sleep in, but I'm ruined, you know. But I got up and I had my hot tea. Every morning it's pretty much Jesus, me, and Earl Grey. And I'm walking to go to where I'm going to sit down and read and pray a little bit. And I spilled hot tea right into my slipper. What's that called? Crisis. You know, and so it burned for just a moment, but then it's what? It's wet. You know, and I got a good mouthful in my slipper, you know. So what is that? It's minor. But it's crisis and process. What do you do? Sit around, my slipper's wet. That's pretty pitiful. You know, kick it off, dry it off, do something. But you do something with it. You open the door, your dog got out. What is that? Crisis. Well, what do? He's gone. No, you go get him. And so there's crisis. And then there's big things. There's big things. There's all kinds of things that happen. But we believe with a biblical worldview, we have answers. We have answers. There's solutions. And we also believe this, that there's hope for our future. There's hope for our future. So when it comes to biblical worldviews and all the other worldviews, I just want to go ahead and go on record to say something, okay? Follow me on this. And I'm going to guarantee this. One day, everybody will have a biblical worldview. Because one day, every knee shall bow. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. One day. So you got to think big picture. You got to think big, 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 big picture. One day. When will that be? Is that coming this fall? No, it's a ways off. But there's one day when the whole shooting match is over. And I don't care who they are. I don't care how arrogant they are, how smart they are, how powerful they are, how whatever. One day, everybody will have a biblical worldview. Amen. Think about that one. Think about that one. Let me share a few things with you that I think we're to do. I need to reveal two other things to you real quick. Part of our problem in our world today is there's such a powerful secular media. Okay? And that is pervasive in our society, and it's powerful. It is biased, It distorts things. It's anti-Christ. They're okay with God to a degree, but it's essentially anti-Christ. What do you mean, Pastor? Somebody can receive a word and say, God bless you, God bless America, God bless you all. Everybody's fine with that. But then you get some guys that, and you watch, God will always place some guys, and guys, I mean ladies, men, whatever, in heroic places. He'll put people in a heroic moment, and they're going to get interviewed, and they're going to give glory to God. Not just God, Jesus. And what do the reporters do in that moment? Take me to commercial, you know, because it gets awkward. There's a tolerance for a God consciousness, but not a lot of tolerance for Jesus. And they don't even know why. But it's because there is an antichrist spirit that is already at work in the earth today. And you don't need to fear that, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And you need to get out of the mindset that we're going to fix the world. Because we're not going to fix the world. Did y'all hear me? We're going to be salt and light. You need salt because of what's going on. You need light because of the darkness. And I'll get to it in a moment, but God knows who his kids are, and God knows how to take care of his kids. But get out of the theology that we're going to fix the world. We're not going to fix the world. We're not going to be able to fix our nation. We're going to be able to hold things back. And when we do that largely by prayer and by the Holy Spirit being present within the people of God, that's what holds back lawlessness. And that is when the rapture of the church takes place. And this is my theology line. This is what I believe as far as eschatology. I believe in a pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And at that point, the Holy Spirit is taken out of the world. And the Holy Spirit said he would never leave us and he would never forsake us. So when he is taken out, we're taken out. And that's not like a 3-week withdrawal. That's like, boom, in that twinkling of an eye, then we're gone. And then that which has held back lawlessness, which is the Holy Spirit and the body of Christ, once they're gone, that's when lawlessness breaks out in the earth. And that's when you'll see great tribulation. Okay? I didn't mean to get into all of that tonight, but you need to think big picture. And our worldview gives us picture of the future. There are too many believers, though, that are trying to get us back to 1946 or something. And we're going to get everybody to tuck in their shirt and part their hair. And we're going to go back to something. And folks, that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And it's not because God is opposed to that. It's because God already has a plan and a timeline. And we'll be talking more about that, and we've talked about it some, but we'll be talking more about that. So we've got this powerful secular media that distorts, has an agenda, is biased, and anti-Jesus, anti-Christ. Here's the other problem, and this is where I want you to step up, okay? Y'all still with me?
Yes.
I feel like we're drinking out of a fire hydrant tonight. There's just a whole lot coming, but get something out of this. Here's where we need to step up. People don't think for themselves. People don't think for themselves. Now, let me share a few things on this. Because of the media and because of the control of media and so forth, you would think that people who believe like we believe are the minority when we are the vast majority. Okay, we're still a vast, vast majority. But because of media, and then people just buy into things. There are some people, this is the power of commercials. They'll sell you anything. And you'll buy it. Some of the goofiest commercials out there, I keep seeing over, for goofy products, over and over and over. And you know why? Because they're selling. They're selling. And we buy them, why? Because we'll be sexy if I buy that. Or I'll be happy if I buy that. You know, and we've got to start thinking for ourselves. Listen to this. If you don't know what you believe and why you believe it, your life will be shaped by something you're not even aware of. For example, TV, friends, somebody to just say something, then suddenly you believe it if you don't think for yourself. Peer pressure, media, polls, all kinds of things. I read it on the internet. It has to be true. And please don't send me forward all your conspiracy theories that are on the internet, okay? Because we really end up being a mockery if we don't start thinking for ourselves. Now, let me share a few things with you in the next few moments. What do we do? What do we do? First of all, and I've kind of alluded to this already, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised that in our great nation and in our world that there are problems. Don't be surprised that there's a moral slide. There's a big picture. There's a grand timeline. There's prophecy that is spoken about such things. Incredibly accurate. Let me read this to you. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. Peter writes, he says, I'm warning you ahead of time, dear friends. Be on guard so that you're not carried away by the errors of those wicked people and lose your own secure footing. Rather, you must grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All glory to him, both now and forever. Amen. And what he's saying is, if you know these things ahead of time, then you won't lose your steadfastness. So if you'll go ahead and adjust your thinking and not be shocked when we hear of things happening in the world, just first of all, don't be surprised. And in that, if you know about it ahead of time and we find out about it through God's word and the Holy Spirit who shows us things to come, then don't be surprised. The second thing that Peter pointed out there was this: grow in grace and knowledge. This is what you and I need to do. Look at me. Grow in grace and knowledge. You're doing it tonight. I hope you'll get up in the morning. I hope you don't spill tea in your slipper. But we've got to be feeding on God's word, being with God's people, in God's presence. We've got to become thinkers. We've got to grow in grace, grow in knowledge. Pray about everything. Stop worrying about everything. Start praying about everything and trusting God. Without him, we can do what again? Nothing except make a mess and get lost and get really freaked out about things. And so we've got to grow in grace and knowledge. Third thing would be this. Don't be surprised. Grow in grace and knowledge. Third thing is this. Commit. Commit. Look at me. You need to make sure of your commitment to Jesus Christ. You need to get that shirt up. Jesus is not an additive to your life. He's not just something you mix in. He is to be first place in your life, and you need to commit to him. And let me give you a verse here, and this will hopefully encourage you. Psalm 29, verse 11 says this: the Lord will give strength to who? Who? His people. The Lord will bless who? With what? Okay, let's look at it all again. The Lord will give strength. You think you're going to need strength? The Lord will give strength to who? His people. The Lord will what? Y'all, you need blessed. You need blessed. And that's not just that your bills get paid. It's just God's grace, God's help for everything that makes the difference. The Lord will bless who? His people with what? You think you're going to need peace? Absolutely. Who does he do that for? His people. So you know what you and I need to be? His people. I mean, there needs to be no bones about it. Just clear. Let him know every day. Well, he knows. It's for me. It's for the devil. It's for my life, my schedule, for him, for everything. I belong to you. You're my creator. You're my redeemer. You're the Lord of my life. You're my owner. You're my ruler. You're my master. You're my boss. I may not get this all right today, but I belong to you. And I know that you're with me every step of the way. And you need to declare those kind of things. I mean, every day. It'll stir your pudding, folks. It'll get you going and fired up. Amen. But listen to this. God knows who his people are. He knows where his people are. And he knows how to take care of his people. So come hell, come high water, come whatever. God knows who his people are. He knows where his people are. He knows how to take care of his people. Wherever they are, what's going on. And so here's what you need to do. You need to be his people. And then let me go to this real quick. You need to respond right to God and pray. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. Powerful verse, and it's probably being preached all over this nation tonight, and I pray that it is. The prophet said, and this was for Israel, but I think the principle carries. There's nothing that we can undo about this principle. And I would debate that all day long with anybody. That though this was intended for Israel, the principle carries to us today. And the Lord speaks and he says this, if my people, that's us again, remember we just talked about that. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, we've got to respond to God in this way, humble ourselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. More accurately, I in heaven will hear. I in heaven will hear and will forgive their sin and heal their land. And this is the thing we need to realize. Stop your over-focus. Hear me on this. Stop your over-focus on the White House and focus on your house. The only way you're going to be able to affect change successfully is start right here. Because if you project the problem and the solution off onto somebody else, some other organization, the White House, Congress, coach, teacher, mama, whoever else, here's what you do. You create a space of error and you'll assume a wrong identity and you'll become judge. And then we get critical of everything. And instead we need to humble ourselves and seek God and pray and turn from our wicked ways and start right here with me. And I don't mean that trite or cliche. Don't get over focused on the White House, but get focused on my house. My house. And when you do that, I'm telling you what, God's going to meet you where you're at. And he'll be able to affect change around you. There's a lot of work to be done yet. A whole lot of work to be done. I don't want you to be downcast. I don't want you to worry. Jesus actually said in Matthew 24, when you start to see all these things going on, he said, don't let your heart be troubled. It's not a time to fear. It's a time to watch God be God. And I'm going to say it again because I think this is needful for us. God knows who his people are. He knows where they are. He knows how to take care of them. And he has a huge plan and a big timeline. Well, when is Jesus coming? When does this wrap up? I don't know. I don't know. Tonight would be amazing. I'm a little hungry, but tonight would be tonight would be amazing. I personally think there's still a span of time. I don't know. And anybody who tells you they do know, because Scripture says no man knows the day or the hour. The Amplified Bible adds near or remote. They don't know. The Son of Man, Jesus, if you can understand this, he doesn't know. The angels don't know. Only the Father knows. And at the right time, he'll reveal it. What do we do in the meantime? Man, we dig in. We dig in like never before. And we get our worldview cleared up so that we see everything. The beginning of the world, the people of the world, the governments of the world, the problems of the world, the issues of the world, the future of the world, hope of the world. I see all of that through God's word. And you're not going to see it through God's word if you keep God's word closed. You're going to have to get into God's word. You're going to have to sit under the teaching of God's word. I don't understand all of this, why this works. But Paul talked about under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the foolishness of preaching. And we're to expose ourselves to that. You're doing it tonight. Thank you for coming. We're going to be better for having sat under God's word. Not my teaching, but God's word. God's word. I'm just doing my job. You do your job. I do my job. It all works together. God's plan will be fulfilled. And this is the big thing. Get yourself squared up in your worldview. The sad thing is there's a whole lot of believers, Christians, that don't have a biblical worldview. Their worldview is so mixed. And you need to get that cleared up because the Lord is going to bless his people with strength and with peace. And things are going to get very, very hard to understand if you don't have a biblical worldview. And no matter what's going on, I believe this, you can stay at peace. There's going to be things that will be disturbing in our world, and I don't want to scare you because Jesus said, when you see it all, don't get scared. Don't get scared. Just pull closer to him and watch what he will do. All of that said, with everything going on, I'd rather be right here in this nation. I'm so thankful for this nation. I'm so thankful for the for the conveniences that we have, the freedom that we have, the peace and order that we have. I'm thankful for our government and our infrastructure. Compare that with some other places. I'm thankful for the culture of things that we have. I'm thankful for medical help. I'm thankful for safe neighborhoods. I'm thankful for law enforcement. I'm thankful for the freedom that we had tonight. We came freely tonight. Amen. We're under no threat. We can gather here freely. That's not the case. You know, we read about Fox's Book of Martyrs and what happened to the apostles. And we know back in, you know, the early days of the church, all the martyrs, people that were martyred for their faith. Did you know it's estimated that more people are martyred currently than back then? And it's hidden in a lot of nations and so forth. And it's, you know, some crazy stuff. I'm very thankful we're where we are. Jesus is Lord. He's still blessing this nation. He still has a great plan for this nation. I believe that the church has been kind of a sleeping giant, needs to wake up, get their worldview clear, pray like something really depends upon it. And God has some great purpose yet for this nation. And I think some things are going to be pushed back for a while to allow some things to happen. There's so many things being held back now that we wouldn't even fully understand. But you just need to get this settled. Jesus is Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I am one happy guy that I live in the United States of America. And tomorrow, I'm going to celebrate. I'm going to eat. We're going to do some fireworks. All my kids are going to be in town. Alicia's not here tonight because Joshua, my middle son, he's in an internship in Nashville. He's got like 5 days off. So we looked and we found we had some sky miles. Fly my boy in free. That's good too. So she went to pick him up tonight. And my daughter and son-in-law that live over on the coast, they're coming. You know what? I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm thankful. We've got freedom. Wait one second. Let's not be the negative people. Let's not be the mully grubbing, tail dragging, critical, judgmental, self-righteous, whatever. Let's be the people full of grace, full of truth, full of confidence, and hearts just overflowing with gratitude. Amen. And you know what? That's going to help because it's going to start right here, and we're going to see that help. And I believe it will spread. Amen. I got so much more to say, but I'm just going to stop right there. And I just, did y'all get anything at all out of this tonight? Okay.